27.
Here we are.
And it is April 1st. We thought about doing something funny like, you know, total prank show. But well, it is a total prank show, but a show that would be a prank on our listeners. But with the inconsistency with which we've been delivering content lately, I didn't think that would go over too well. So instead, we're just going to have a show dedicated to April Fool's Day. But first, Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
All right. In unfunny news, April 1st, back in the day. This date in 1873, the RMS Atlantic sinks off Nova Scotia, killing 547 people in what, at the time, was the worst naval disaster. It would be like 40 years later, that the Titanic sinks.
Yeah.
They were both White Star ships. White Star had a lot of liability in those ships. Not good. 1873 also, the Wrigley Company was founded in Chicago. It's kind of part and parcel for Chicago. They had Wrigley Field,
right,
and Wrigley's Gum. And, you know, it's like back when I was a kid, you'd only ever get to see Transformers on Channel 9. Remember that? Like cable, like WGN.
Well, I was in Louisiana.
Chicago 9.
Okay.
It was a cable channel.
And vaguely,
they
remember it.
Like, well, I was in a small town in Texas. We didn't have an affiliate that played it.
Right, right.
So if I wanted to see Transformers, I had to watch it real early in the morning on Chicago TV on Channel 9, WGN. So, I mean, we eventually got it. But like I've mentioned in the past, like if you were a week behind, it seemed, when you're 6, 7 years old, it seemed like forever.
Right.
So, like, I watched He-Man growing up. But more than I remember watching He-Man, I remember not being able to see He-Man until we came to Houston. Until they got an affiliate link, station down south. All right, on this date in 1960, the TIROS-1 satellite transmits the first TV transmissions from space. Now, pretty much everything's transmitted from space.
Yeah. Yeah, what would we do without satellites? You know, it would be a much different world. We'd be back to where we were before.
Yeah.
We'd survive, obviously.
I don't, like, you know how, like, the flat Earth thing? To me, I just feel like most of that has to be trolling. I understand, like, I realize that there are gradients on belief, right? But there's just certain things. It's like, what about satellites? Like, you can see them in the sky. They're up there.
Right.
They blink. You know, they're they're in orbit. They're way up there. So it's just like little things like that, because otherwise, how would they work?
Yeah.
You know? All right. In this date, 1970, Nixon bans tobacco advertising on TV and radio. So freedom of speech is free unless they decide it's not. And that's really step one. And quite honestly, I have not a conspiracy theory, but I really do believe that, like, tobacco regulations has opened the door for so much government intrusion into other things in people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, because you think about it, you're like, okay, well, this is my building. This is my bar. This is my barn. This is, you know, it's like, hey, I want you to come over here and, like, if I will pay you money to, you know, pick up and carry boxes for me. But we're going to smoke in here because I smoke and it's my building. And then the government pokes his little head in there and is like, no, you can't do that. It's like, well, where does private property end?
Yeah, exactly.
You've got the First Amendment, you know, freedom of speech won't be infringed unless, you know, we just decide it's bad for you. Anyway, all that shenanigans started back in 1970. And in 1976, Apple Incorporated was founded. Little company. Well, fruit company. Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And in 2004, Google announces Gmail.
Used by many.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually kind of a... I mean, it's the most popular, like, email service, but it's kind of a bitch to navigate.
Yeah, it can be a pain in the ass.
It's got like, six different buttons that all have, like, a curvy arrow. And so... and then it's different on your phone than it is on the PC. So you're like, okay, well, I'm trying to reply to this email.
Right, what do I need to press?
What button do I push?
I get frustrated with the way it separates folders as far as what it chooses as promotions, as social, because I don't see half the emails I get. And all of a sudden I realize I got 10 Comic Palooza emails that I need to reply to, and they're all in promotions. And
mm-hmm.
That's the thing that I get annoyed with. There's...
I don't like how you can't delete emails from your phone. Like, if you're on your phone and you get an email and you, like, swipe it to delete it, it'll still be there. You have to delete it, like, off your PC.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but whatever. All right, notable births on this date in 1883. Mr. Lon Chaney.
Icon.
This date in 1926. Author Anne McCaffrey, which I've never read any of her stuff, but she's apparently pretty popular.
Any examples of her work? Or?
Go to any place. Okay. Go to any bookstore, and you'll see her many, many examples of her work. She's one of the top-selling writers ever.
The name is
ever.
Familiar, so...
In 1952, Annette O'Toole, best known as Lana Lang in Superman.
Yes.
And also as Beverly, grown-up Beverly in the TV version of It. And what else was she in? She was in quite a bit
She's
of stuff.
She's been in some other stuff, yeah. I just can't remember.
She played Martha Kent in Smallville. So she's got a lot of ties to Superman.
Right.
Notable deaths on this date in 1984, Marvin Gaye. There's not much old business. That'll be doing it, and we'll hear a commercial or a song or something, and we'll be right back.
Paramount Pictures cordially invites you for a weekend getaway at the party to end all parties.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, because I don't want to see.
April Fool.
Welcome to my home and lifestyles of the rich and undeserving.
Welcome.
Cheers.
Join 8 privileged guests who are just dying to have fun.
Wow, what is this? The bridal suite? You like it?
The ladies.
I find a use for it.
The gentlemen.
We did on the first date.
The young.
Well, basically, I possess an essential lack of seriousness.
Run, get it!
And the restless.
She's an April Fool!
You are such a jerk.
Everyone is having such a good time. It's scary.
Is something wrong?
You're dead.
Radio is blasting. Someone's knocking at the door. I'm looking at my girl. She passed out on the floor.
Nikki!
I'll see someone in the hole. I've never seen before. Don't know what it is. I don't want to see it anymore.
April Fool's Day. Get ready to party till you drop.
Here we are. Before I get started, just to do a plug, you know, I love Adrienne Barbeau tremendously. She is awesome. She's an iconic actress to me. She's got a new podcast called the She Kills podcast, which I definitely recommend checking out. What it is, she highlights a couple of iconic women from the horror genre every week. And cool. A lot of behind-the-scenes info and everything, and up-and-coming stuff from all these famous directors, actresses, producers that have to be female that love horror also. So Highly recommend the She Kills podcast with Adrian Barbeau. Okay, Mr. Gomez.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay, as of, not as the recording of this, but it'll be coming out soon. Pet Sematary is going to be opening in theaters April 5th, and it premiered at South by Southwest recently to rave reviews and tons of kudos from different critics and everything. So I'm actually a baby getting excited for it at this point. I know I wasn't too happy about it, being that I didn't feel as though John Lithgow could portray that iconic character of Joe,
right,
compared to Fred Gwynn. But I'm thinking about giving it a chance now. Premiered March 16th at South by Southwest. Will be in theaters April 5th. Some of the comments that were made with this particular critic: Pet Sematary is vicious and I loved it. Super brutal visuals, and was thrilled to see Widmeyer and Kalsh fully embrace the deeply unsettling themes of mortality from the book. They really pushed it with this adaptation, and it worked for me big time. And another one, Pet Sematary is a hoot and a half. Super dark, twisted, gory, and surprisingly funny, which I found interesting too, because I don't see how you can get humor out of that particular storyline. More of a dark comedy than the original movie, and it all works once the fucked up third act kicks in. Cast is fantastic. So, yeah, I may have to check it out. Someone else says, actually, this person. Now, you got to realize, these aren't horror critics that are praising it. So, they tend to look at things a little bit differently. This one, holy hell, not only does it greatly improve upon the original film, but it manages to reach Kubrick's Shining level heights. I was terrified, blown away, and impressed. So, it'll be interesting to see how.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it now, but let's see. We shall see.
I've heard good stuff about Us.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good stuff about Us, so I'm looking forward to that. We actually have a definitive release date for Three from Hell, which we've been talking about a lot, but apparently it will be in theaters October 31st, Halloween night. We'll be able to check out Rob Zombie's third installment of
Devil's Rejects.
Devil's Rejects, yes. Alrighty, where are we going to go to next? Let's get into some fun stuff. Well, actually, I wanted to bring this up first. Pretty exciting that James Gunn will be rehired to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which I guess they finished with his time out.
Yeah.
And realized that they were going to make a tremendous mistake by changing directors for the third installment of the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise.
Well, I don't know what they talk about in the back rooms of movie studios like that or whatever, but when they hired him to bring on for Suicide Squad, and then he's got Brightburn coming out, which is not Superman, but
a Superman type movie.
You just take the S off his shirt and put a B on there, and it's Superman.
Yeah.
And you got all of these DC fanboys getting all excited about James Gunn's gone over kind of to the dark side there. Marvel gets a little nervous.
I'm curious to see how it's going to shape out now with the Suicide Squad movie. If he's
They announced that they weren't going to bump Suicide Squad. He's still on that.
Okay. So yeah, that's pretty exciting. Of course, he was fired last July after some offensive tweets from his past popped up and some unflattering pictures. And
they knew they were there whenever he did it. That's the thing.
He got his start in trauma. Look at any trauma movie on Amazon Prime, and you'll see what culture he came from. I mean, it doesn't take away his talent. Period. Okay. Speaking of trauma, a gentleman named Macon Blair has been chosen to write and direct the new adaptation of Toxic Avenger that's going to be starting up. He's known to horror fans after having roles in Murder Party, Blue Ruin, and Green Room. And he directed his first feature in 2017 called I Don't Feel at Home in the World Anymore, which apparently was a favorite of critics on the independent film circuit. So we'll be seeing that. Of course, this one is not by Trauma Entertainment, but it is being co-produced by Lloyd Kaufman. So
nice.
I think that will be a fun ride. Let me see where we're going to go. This talks funny stuff. It's an interesting method. How far would Meg go if you were in jail to get you some contraband?
I guess it would depend on what the contraband was.
Well, a recent Oklahoma woman, armed with a $1,600 t-shirt gun, successfully launched a package of contraband over the fence of a prison to get to her husband, who was locked up inside. Carrie Jo Hickman, age 40, did the drive-by the North Fork Correctional Center in Sayre, Oklahoma, using a Bleacher Reacher Pro T-shirt gun. Prison personnel spotted the incoming round, which landed near one of the housing units and was able to intercept it before the recipient could get it. The package contained the following. This is all in one shot from a T-shirt gun. Meth, pot, cell phones, tobacco, earbuds, chargers, and digital scales.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
Digital scale so he can properly sell his meth.
Upon seeing the container launched over the fence, the officers tailed the vehicle. And so she pulled her over and arrested her. She was arrested by Oklahoma Highway Patrol officers. So, yeah.
Dude, that's just like Red from Shawshank Redemption having a wife. Launching it over the walls.
And I'm sure you heard about this guy, the Texas man from Raywood, Texas, which I actually have a lot of family in Raywood. If you get a chance, check out Fontenot's Smoked Meat, which is my cousin, Big Tony.
Nice.
Who, he's been living in Raywood. For some reason, something happened way back in the day where a whole bunch of Fontenots left Louisiana and settled in Raywood, Texas. I have, like, a lot of family in Raywood, Texas. It's the weirdest thing. Well, a local man decided to go ahead and test there. Any pet on a leash is allowed rule. And walked in with his African Watusi steer. I don't know if you ever saw one
they're
of those.
Huge.
They're fucking huge, dude. And yeah, cool
I saw that picture. The cow stands taller than the man.
Yeah.
And he's got these giant horns.
It's just huge, oversized horns. I mean, it's like a longhorn with really thick horns.
Yeah.
They let him bring it in. Watusi bulls can reach 1,600 pounds. This one was pushing that limit, I'm pretty sure. And it's a very trained, friendly bull. He uses it for kids' educational purposes. He brings it to schools and stuff like that. And it was cool watching it because it actually, the bull's smart. As it's going into the store, it realizes immediately that its horns are too wide for the door, and he kind of puts his head to the side and goes in and does it the second time. People were very excited to have him in there. Petco did not kick him out. Okay, Ice Pirates. Talk about it all the time, right? What was one of the funniest scenes in Ice Pirates?
Man, I haven't seen that movie in so long. That's one of those we need to do a fresh eyes on.
I'd love to, man. I'd love to. I love that movie so much. But NASA has issued a warning regarding space herpes as the virus reactivates in astronauts. The stress on the body of spaceflight is believed to contribute to suppressing the immune system, which helps the virus to grow and regenerate and come back. Yes, NASA has issued a warning after a study found that the virus is reactivating in crew aboard Space Shuttle International Space Station missions. According to the agency, while only a small proportion of the astronauts develop symptoms as a result of the dormant virus, awakening it could spell danger for longer spaceflight missions, for instance, to Mars. So NASA has confirmed that there is such a thing as space herpes. I don't think it's actually a little maggot-looking creature with teeth that runs around, but it was just very reminiscent of Ice Pirates. When I saw that, I cracked up laughing.
That's awesome.
And that is actually the headline. It's space herpes. But that's all I got.
Yeah, we need to do a fresh eyes on Ice Pirates. I don't think I've seen that since it was on, like, one of those that was on rotation on HBO
when I was a kid. I used to watch it all the time. And it's not on Amazon Prime, but it's on Amazon. So I actually bought it on Amazon. So, I watch it every once in a while. The movie just cracks me up. Yeah,
I need to get caught up.
It's an awesome cast. I mean, Ron Perlman. It's one of Ron Perlman's
early movies.
His early movies, yeah. Yeah. That's what I got.
All right. Well, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
It isn't only in Britain that spring this year has taken everyone by surprise. Here, in the Ticino, on the borders of Switzerland and Italy, the slopes overlooking Lake Lugano have already burst into flower, at least a fortnight earlier than usual. But what, you may ask, has the early and welcome arrival of bees and blossom to do with food? Well, it's simply that the past winter, one of the mildest in living memory, has had its effect in other ways as well. Most important of all, it's resulted in an exceptionally heavy spaghetti crop. The last 2 weeks of March are an anxious time for the spaghetti farmer. There's always the chance of a late frost, which, while not entirely ruining the crop, generally impairs the flavor and makes it difficult for him to obtain top prices in world markets. But now these dangers are over, and the spaghetti harvest goes forward. Spaghetti cultivation here in Switzerland is not, of course, carried out on anything like the tremendous scale of the Italian industry. Many of you, I'm sure, will have seen pictures of the vast spaghetti plantations in the Po Valley. For the Swiss, however, it tends to be more of a family affair. Another reason why this may be a bumper year lies in the virtual disappearance of the spaghetti weevil, the tiny creature whose depredations have caused much concern in the past. After picking, the spaghetti is laid out to dry in the warm alpine sun. Many people are often puzzled by the fact that spaghetti is produced at such uniform length, but this is the result of many years of patient endeavor by plant breeders who've succeeded in producing the perfect spaghetti. And now the harvest is marked by a traditional meal. Toasts to the new crop are drunk in these boccalinos, and then the waiters enter bearing the ceremonial dish, and it is of course spaghetti, picked earlier in the day, dried in the sun, and so brought fresh from garden to table at the very peak of condition. For those who love this dish, there's nothing like real homegrown spaghetti.
And I'm back, and we're back. Had to go get some nose spray. Allergies.
It's all that smoke from Deer Park, man. I'm
telling you, man. That was pretty horrifying. What do you do when a giant...
What was funny is yesterday I go to the grocery store, and I leave to go back. You know, I'm not that far from it. I see a giant plume of smoke again. Like, not again. And sure enough, I got home, and I checked the news, and it reignited again, man. That place needs to be out of business.
Do they know why it happened?
All that I've heard is that there was a leak that was not taken care of properly.
Oh.
And I don't know how long the leak was running. They may have just let it run in there for a while, thinking nothing would happen, and that's what caused the initial ignition of the fire, which was crazy, dude. I mean, it was...
For those of you who don't know, Deer Park is pretty much... Is it like, what did you say, like due south of Houston?
It's
southeast of Houston. Yeah. It's not very far southeast of Houston. It's a suburb. But for a whole week, it started with one, and I think it ended up being five different tanks.
You know, it was
eight
altogether.
Eight,
it was a set of ten. Two of them never caught on fire. And the other eight all burned up.
Of petroleum distillates. So you had gasoline and oil and pre-gasoline and probably some diesel. And all of this stuff was just on fire for an entire week. And then they had different chemical releases and stuff. And for the first part of the week, even where I live, which I'm pretty far from Deer Park, the sky seemed overcast. It was overcast and gray.
It looked like it was about to pour down rain in.
Yeah. And then you know, we'd have this beautiful spring day, and we're going, oh, man, it's wonderful outside. And they're like, nope, you got to shelter in place because there's benzene in the air. And it's been insane for the Houston area.
Especially the residents of Deer Park and that whole area, man. Like I said, I passed by less than 2 miles away from it a couple of days ago, and it's crazy how bad the thing was burning, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just how many pounds and tons of smoke, and just because that smoke has particulates in it, you know, that's got to land somewhere. It's all going somewhere, you know. This company definitely needs to be shut down. I think they're going to lose a lot of money behind this one.
Yeah. Well, that was most certainly not a prank.
No.
But we're going to talk about April Fool's, April Fool's Day, and some of the more fun things that have happened through the years.
Wasn't there a similar prank where a guy made it seem as though a volcano had erupted?
Yeah.
By lighting a pile of tires on fire or something?
This dude dragged all these damn tires up on the other side of the invisible side of the mountain and lit them all on fire to make people think a volcano was going off.
I remember reading about that once, man.
That is insane. I mean, that's dedication to a prank.
It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. The thing about it is, though, that could be a dangerous one. It could start a serious panic. It's probably done by the grocery store, so people would start buying bread and stuff like that. And bottled water. We got too much bottled water. Take these tires on the other side of the volcano and light it up.
Every time there's any kind of a disaster, it always trips me out. It's like people be like fighting over Spam. It's like, do you actually eat Spam? Like, how long do you think you're gonna be? Like, the worst I've ever seen it. Like, Harvey was bad, right? Like, Harvey was a bad situation.
But Rita was the worst, in my opinion.
But for the most part, the people that were not directly affected by Harvey, which I mean, were out for months. But like, when Ike hit, there were entire neighborhoods that didn't have power for like almost a month.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine, him, his wife, and his kids were staying with us for a while because they didn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, we had the same. We had a few folks like that. And okay, well, here's the thing. It's like a month, so all your refrigerator stuff goes bad. So everybody's having barbecues. You know, you know what there's shortages of is ice and beer.
Yep.
There's no shortage of food for a month. In fact, you're gorging, you're binge eating to keep it from going to waste. You don't need to go buy Spam. Like, you don't need to buy survival food at that point. Like, you got a while, you got a little bit. That's what always trips me out. It's like, okay, like, oh, the hurricane's coming, let me check my supplies.
Right.
Okay, we need to get some comfort food for the kids in case we lose some power. And we need to get lots and lots of beer. And lots of ice. Did you know that the first mention of April Fool's as an event, as a day, comes from the Canterbury Tales from 1392?
Okay.
That's really long time.
Yeah.
For what's not technically a holiday, but just kind of
a tradition.
A tradition. That's the English version. 1508 was the first reference in France. So I guess the English were doing it and the French picked it up. The Netherlands in 1572.
Okay.
So, I mean, this thing's been going on for a long time and it kind of just slowly spread across, I don't know, let's call it Christendom. You know, cultures in Europe that then, you know, made it over here. But yeah. The first reference in France was some nobleman sent all of his folks on a fool's errand, like, go do something stupid. And they all come back and they're like, we couldn't make it. And he's like, ah.
April Fool's.
April Fool's. Can you imagine being the first person to be pranked as a tradition? Like, April Fool's, like, what the hell does that mean?
Who's April?
So yeah, we're going to talk about pranks, not necessarily April Fool's, but just kind of some fun things that we've done, have either done ourselves, have heard people having done, and yeah, so let's roll on.
Good. Give one of my, one of the pranks that I've personally been involved in, I remember, this was a long time ago when I first started with Halliburton, when they had a guy in office. There's always a guy in office that nobody likes, you know, everybody just... as a person, they just can't stand them. And we had saw on, I can't remember the name of the website. This was early days of the internet. This was back in 1998 or 99, something like that. We found a website that would sell all these prank, these gag gifts. And one of them we found, it was called the Cricket. It was a little itty bitty electronic device that would emit a beep.
A little chirp.
A little chirp. But what it would do is the chirp was never the same volume and it wasn't the same time period in between chirps. So we were able to stick it up inside the Celotex of this guy's office and just let the madness begin. And for days, dude, for days, he would run around the office. He's like, you guys don't hear that? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he would think that he had it tracked down, but then the volume would change. So it was so odd. That was one of the greatest pranks, dude. We laughed so, so hard at that one. That was a lot of fun. Doesn't hurt anybody. Drive somebody crazy that you don't really care for. Eventually, it stopped.
So I used to work at the sporting goods store. It was a real big box sporting goods store. And we'd prank each other all the time. So we'd put like grease on the phone receiver. So when you picked it up, you got bicycle grease in your ear. We'd prank call the other departments and give them a hard time and stuff like that. The one that we got the most in trouble for, we had this, it wasn't in our department, we were in the skate and bike department, but in like camping or something, we sold this like emergency radio thing. And so it was like a survival radio for camping. So it was like waterproof, it had a AM/FM radio on it, and a flashing like strobe light, and this little like piezo alarm. So if you were lost in the woods or something, you could turn that on and they could, you know, come find you. Well, I don't know whose idea it was. Like, I'm one of the very few people that I can honestly say this was absolutely, positively not me. I did not do it, but I knew who did. There was like three guys that were just messing around. Goes and gets that thing and puts it in a box of shoes in the back. Now, if you've ever been in a big box store shoe department, there's shelves upon shelves. It looks like the Indiana Jones storeroom at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because every pair of shoes, you've got like 11 sizes, 12, 13 sizes, and you have to have multiple pairs of each size, so you've got a lot of storage for shoes. They thought somebody planted a bomb, and they cleared out the store. And this little funny prank where we were thinking like the guys are gonna laugh.
It blew up
in our faces. And funny, like my boss Max, he knew it was one of us, and he comes gets us all kind of separated, you know, separately. There's like four of us. And again, I can honestly say I didn't do it. Well, the problem was I didn't know who did it. I knew who it was. I wasn't going to rat anybody, but he just knew that it was, if it wasn't me, it was that guy. And if it wasn't that guy, it was this other guy. It was one of us in the bike shop. And he comes back there. He's like, that was one of you guys, wasn't it? And we're all kind of like, no. He's like, yeah, they're talking about firing people. So keep it. Do not, like, don't say anything about it. We're like, all right.
Yeah. Did they come out trying to scare people, like, saying, we're going to send this to the FBI lab for fingerprints?
No, what happened, it started to beep. Like, somebody, when they put it in the shoebox, they put it on a timer. Because they're like a wake-up call timer. And instead, like, you know how, like, whenever you have a clock radio, you can put on either music or the alarm.
Yeah.
Well, it triggered itself on, and it started going, boop, 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 and it was flashing the light. But the problem was it was inside of a shoebox. So the only thing that you could see was this, like, flashing light inside of a shoebox, and it's like, boop, 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 boop. So people are, like, freaking out, like, what the hell is this? And everybody, instead of, like, pulling it down and seeing what it was, everybody ran. I don't remember. I think some guy in the shoe department was finally just pulled it out and like to see what it was, like risked his life. And, and so management was pissed. Like, this is not
cool. He was basically the Bill Murray with the Babe Ruth taking a bite.
Exactly. So
this is the alarm clock, man.
But man, like when it came to like April 1st, man, he's call the other departments, call up the gun department. Yo, do you need a waiting period to buy a shotgun? He's like, because I got some business to take care of. I can't wait. And so, like, this whole day, this guy's waiting for some pissed off dude coming in to buy a shotgun that shouldn't be having one, you know. He's like, I'm not going to sell you a shotgun if you're going to hurt nobody. I didn't say I was going to hurt somebody. I said I was going to take care of
somebody.
I got
something to do with it.
Yeah, this one dude, because we could have visibility. So my friend Jose, he comes back. He was in a band, and he comes back off tour, and they used to always just come up with stuff to kill time. He's like, check this out, man. He's like, if you dial 1-800 in any combination of bad word, you'll get a phone sex line. This is back in the 90s. So you dial, like, 1-800-whatever, and you'd be like, and they'd give you this, like, 10 or 15 second preview. So you dial this number, and it would be this, it would be a recording, but it would be this girl. It's like, hi, boys, you know. It's like, come talk to all the sexy ladies on the other side of this, whatever. It's like, you know, stick it in your credit card. Well, anyway, what we used to do is we would dial the number and then transfer it to other departments and then watch their responses. And most of the time, you know, you're standing in your tennis department and the phone rings and you pick it up and listen. And what the hell? And just kind of hang it up. Every now and then you get somebody to pick it up and then just like, like listen closely to see what was going to happen next. And we all be like, oh, you're nasty. It's bad. But yes, then of course, my buddies and I bought the prank. Remember the Jerky Boys were real popular.
Oh, I used to love the Jerky Boys.
So we bought a phone recorder from Radio Shack. Like, back then, we probably would have had a similar sort of thing with the podcasting or whatever if it was now.
Right.
But that didn't exist.
So instead, you did it for yourself.
We called random people in the middle of the night. Anyway, what you got?
Well, some of the industries I've worked in, they have had some pretty cool pranks. And just whenever green people would come along, we'd get new hires and everything, you'd always kind of do an initiation thing with them. One of my favorite ones is when I worked on the cruise ship, we would go through these locks. And when you know what a lock is, it's to pass through different elevations of the river and everything. So one of the coolest ones I used to do is I used to tell green hands, we need a bow extender. Because where you tie it for the locks, the boat's not long enough. So we got to extend the bow out so that we could go ahead and reach it with the ropes. They had this one hand, I'll never forget. They I can't remember his damn name, but remember they told him, said, hey, we need the bow extender. You need to go to the back of the boat, go to the wheelhouse, and tell them you need the bow extender. So this was like the boat was 375 feet long. So this was a pretty nice little walk that the guy had to go. So when he went, I guess it was one of those days where everybody was in a good mood. So everybody was like, let's go ahead and play along with it. So he gets back to the wheelhouse, the engineer back there. He says, hey, they sent me back here to get the bow extender. He says, oh, I can't give it to you. Before I give it to you, you got to go up and make sure that it's okay with the captain that we use the bow extender for this one. So it's 7 stories tall. So the guy walks up to the captain's house. It says, excuse me, they told me to come up here. I got to get permission to get the bow extender from the wheelhouse. So the captain said, yeah, let me write you a slip. So he wrote a note to him. Now, all this time, the engineer in the back is like, okay, what can I use as a bow extender? So he finds a hoist, this huge engine hoist that was in the bag, probably weighs a good, you know, 120 pounds with the chain and everything. So he gets it ready. So the guy gets back down and says, here's my note from the captain to get the bow extender. So the guy goes, it's over there. Go ahead. This guy had to carry that hoist all the way to the front of the boat. And at this point, we had got cameras ready. So when he came around the corner, we were able to get pictures of somebody. Somebody had finally found the bow extender so that we could tie him. Another phone we did on the same boat.
What was his response when he figured it out, or was he just like, here you go, I'm out?
No, you know, he was just like, here's the bow extender. And so he saw everybody laughing and stuff. It was like, god damn it.
That's awesome.
And another good one we used to have is I worked in the kitchen. And when we'd get new wait staff and bus boys, we'd always give them shit. And one of our favorite pranks was telling somebody, here's a bucket, I need you to go, because it was a paddle boat, it was a steamship. Here's a bucket, I need you to get some steam from the back so I can fill up the steam table. Now, normally, people wouldn't fall for it.
Yeah.
Except for this one guy. He took off with the bucket, and they pretty much did the same thing with him. They sent him all over the boat trying to find a bucket of steam to bring to us so we could pour it into it.
See, that's the thing with, like, with shipping, like, well, pretty much any industry where you've got terms that are specific, where you've got jargon.
Yeah.
So we're like, I wouldn't know, you know, like, hey, you know, hand me a bucket, like, hey, go find some steam. My assumption is that there's some sort of, obviously not vapor.
Yeah.
Like, there's some sort of product or something that has a similar name that's jargon for the job. Like being an asshole to newbies.
Where they want to do a good job so bad, they want to impress.
Well, I'm saying, like, I would totally fall for that, right? Like, totally. I'd just be like, okay, this is where I find out what this thing is, right? Like, and you're like, I'd get to the end of it and be like, damn it. You know? That wouldn't make me not do it to the next guy, though.
Right. Like, you want to pass it on. That's how traditions happen, man. There was another phone we used to do offshore in the oil field. This is one of my favorite ones, but there's a chemical called barite, barium sulfate, that we use for weighing fluids and everything for increasing density. And barite is about the same micron size as far as particulate size as flour. I mean, it's real fine. It's like a less than 25 millidarcy size. And they come in 50-pound sacks. 50-pound sack is not very big because this stuff is incredibly dense. So, we'd also do this with gel also, with clay. What we would do is, Green Hand would come on, and we'd have these heavy sacks, and we'd lift them up, showing how strong we were. And we'd tell Green Hand, hey, let's see if you can go ahead and do it. And every time they would lift it above their head, there was a guy standing right behind them with a razor knife that would quickly cut it wide open. And with gel, it was especially funny because you're sweaty, you're nasty, and clay just gets dropped all over you, and it does not come off, man. You're stuck looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator at the end, just trying to hide from the Predator.
That is awesome.
And barite would just get everywhere. I mean, it's like flour, so it would just get all in your outfit. It would just get everywhere, dude. Good old days.
Oh, yeah. Me and my buddies. So you remember when the Super Soakers were real popular? Yeah. Like early 90s, like late 80s, early 90s. We all had them. We were all in high school. And when they really started hitting. And I don't remember, because I had like, I had that original, the one tanker one.
Yeah.
And then my buddy got the one with the three tanks on it, the big one. And that mofo would shoot you right in the eyes with that pressurized water. Yeah. So it's like, he had a longer range. So I had mine, I'd be shooting at him and I couldn't hit him. He'd shoot me and hit me right in the face.
It's like having more reach in a fighter.
So we had, it was, so there's no confusion. Okay, because like it's always been confusing. So, had Jason Yeager and Jason Jordan. So, Jordan was the guy who had the three tank one, and he'd shoot me. So I went and bought a three tank one so I could shoot him back. And Yeager is a guy who didn't even have one of those things, but was just always getting caught in the crossfire. So this one time, I'm like, looked down the street, because Jordan lived down the street from me when we were in high school. So I get in Yeager's truck, and I'm like, hey, he's out there mowing the lawn or something. Like, hey, let's go get him. So we do total, just like out of the movie, drive-by. Like, gun is down, Yeager pulls up, Jordan walks up, like, hey, what's up, guys? And I just, like, over the driver's seat, you know, out the driver's window, just blast him right in the eyes. He's like, starts cussing, and we go about our way, like we were heading somewhere. We weren't even going to hang out with him at the moment. I just felt like shooting him in the face. We left. Well, Jordan got it. So we were going to, like, go rent a video. So we were, like, just gone there and back. So Jordan goes inside. He's gonna get us back. So we go to the video store. We come back. We're at my house right down the street. Yeager gets a phone call, and he's like, well, I have to go. But Jordan was going to try to get me. He's sitting there behind the little brick thing waiting for that truck to come back from this way. Instead, it comes from this way. So Yeager's just cruising. This dude jumps out from behind the wall, blasts him in the face. Yeager freaks out, almost loses control of his car.
Jesus.
Spins it, jumps it into a yard, peels out, and then drives off terrified. And obviously pissed.
Yeah.
So Jordan's the guy calls me. He's like, you weren't in the truck just now, were you? I was like, no. He's like, oh man, let me just tell you. He's like, I just got a bitch. So cool. Those Super Soakers were awesome.
They were fun. They were a lot of fun. They got extreme too. They had some. They had backpacks on them.
Oh yeah. You know how heavy water is. I know, man. Carrying a backpack full of water.
Oh man. Okay. Want to hear about some famous April Fool's pranks from overtime?
Absolutely.
Okay. Here's one from 1878. Edison had just invented the phonograph the year before. His genius was undisputed in 1878. So when the New York Graphic published a piece claiming that Edison had solved the problem of world hunger with his latest invention, a machine that could manufacture biscuit, meat, vegetables, and wine out of nothing but dirt, air, and water, people believed it. Other newspapers jumped on it, the story spreading the news far and wide, proclaiming once again Edison's unsurpassed genius. It was finally revealed when the New York Graphic republished one particularly verbose article about the invention and what it meant for humanity, with a new headline that read, "They bite." So, yeah, so that one of the earliest, it's just like what goes viral now in, on the internet. This one probably just took a few days because, you know, it...
I mean, that's a big deal.
If, it's in 1878. A lot of this stuff probably had to travel through by horseback and shit.
And you know, people are sitting there being like, well, I'm not going to eat manufactured dirt water food. Like, that's not cool.
Here's one from 1957, which is some people believe it may have been the first time a TV program was used for an April Fool's prank. It was perpetrated by the Panorama News Show. At the time, it was the BBC's flagship news program. At the end of its April 1st, 1957 episode, a segment was aired profiling the Swiss spaghetti harvest.
I've seen that.
According to the story, the mild winter that year, along with the eradication of the dreaded spaghetti weevil, had resulted in an unprecedented spaghetti crop in Switzerland, where pasta noodles growing from tree branches were shown being picked by women in traditional Swiss costumes. Many of you, I am sure, will have seen pictures of the vast spaghetti plantations in the Po Valley. For the Swiss, however, it tends to be more of a family affair. And it went on about how the spaghetti is laid out to dry in the alpine air before being used for at the end of the harvest spaghetti feast. Picked early in the day, dried in the sun, so brought fresh from the garden to the table at the very peak of condition. And apparently it fooled a huge number of people.
People trying to buy that fresh spaghetti?
Yes, yes.
That's awesome.
Trying to see what some other ones are. NPR did a prank back in 2014. When it posted a fake article with a headline designed to elicit a response as, "Why doesn't America read anymore?" For anyone who took the time to click on the headline and see what the article was about, this is what they would have found. Congratulations, genuine readers, and happy April Fool's Day. But a lot of people didn't read it and just started putting comments. bragging about their own book consumptions. People writing stuff like, "I read between 5 and 20 plus books in a month." One person wrote saying that this was a bunch of bull crap that people still read. It goes to show people don't read the articles. It's like... I don't know if you saw what came out yesterday, but with the Mueller report being released, the first one that I saw, it just cracked me up. There's been a couple of variations since then. But
there's nothing in the article?
No, it's better than that. So it's that website Scrib, where you can go ahead and post documents. It's so set a link to the Mueller report being linked. It's right here. And people started sharing it like crazy. And I opened it up to read it, and it's all the lyrics to All Star by Smash Mouth.
Nice.
But you had all these people commenting about it. But the Democrats are freaking out about this and all this other crap. When it was, and then I saw another one where it was Rick Astley. It was all the lyrics to his song. So said, and it starts off, you know, it's the title page of the special counsel's report and everything. Then you go to the right next page, and it's line by line the lyrics for all these songs.
Yeah. So somebody else, one of my friends posted a link from some conservative news source, and they were like, here it is, all of the findings from the Mueller probe, and you click on it, and it's like, there's nothing there. And it's like, normally, like, you've got a header, and you've got where the text would be, and then you've got your comments and your advertising below it. It's just the header, then the comments and the advertising. You're sitting there waiting for it to load, and then it doesn't load. You're like, oh, there's nothing here. Oh, that's what they're saying. Okay, I got it. But then you click back, and on the Facebook comments, people are like, yeah, it's not loading for me.
And some other pranks that weren't necessarily on April Fool's Day. In 1980, BBC World Service News announcement reported that Big Ben would be given a digital display. Not only that, but the iconic clock's now useless handles would be given away to the first four people who called in. While most people reacted with shock and anger, one Japanese seaman immediately called the station with hopes of claiming the prize. <I would've>. Another prank that somebody pulled in 1996, Taco Bell tried to take corporate sponsorship to a whole new level by buying a bit of history. On April 1st, the fast food chain took out a full-page ad in six of the country's biggest newspapers, including the New York Times, Washington Post, Philadelphia Inquirer, announcing that in an effort to help the national debt, they had purchased the Liberty Bell. According to the bulletin, the Liberty Bell would remain available to the public, but would split its time between Philly and Taco Bell's headquarters in Irvine, California. Distress calls, including from aides of two U.S. senators to the National Park Service and Taco Bell headquarters, prompted Taco Bell to issue a second, this time real press release, revealing that it was a hoax. People fell over that one, too. Taco Bell was going to purchase the Liberty Bell and use it for advertising purposes.
There's a little bit of controversy, and again, not to talk any politics, but there's a little bit of controversy that the newest, the upcoming cover of Time Magazine, which is actually being released on April 1st, has AOC on the cover. And they're like, is this a prank?
Well, that's what I got, man.
Rock and roll. Well, that is about a show right there. So if you heard this version of the show instead of whatever it is I posted earlier, then you missed it. You should probably go find it. I hit a link on the website. So
this is another real quick one if you want. Right. In 1998, the Alabama State Legislature forever changed math science when it declared that the mathematical constant pi would now be 3.0 instead of the usual 3.141, or so claimed the April issue of New Mexicans for Science and Reason newsletter. In a story by April Holiday, get it? For the Associated Press, Socialized Press, experts argue for and against Alabama's radical change, which is said to be made because 3.0 is a biblical value. The story quickly went viral. Email existed in 1998, of course, but no one knew the real extent of the hoax's success until Alabama legislatures began receiving hundreds of calls in protest. That's pretty awesome, dude.
Can you imagine? Like, I'm very, very critical of government. I'm very critical of governors, and that's senators, that's council people, whatever. Can you imagine just sitting there, you know, you come into work, you get your coffee, and you're like, okay, who's pissed off today? And you get a whole bunch of angry calls because of a hoax
by somebody.
To a newspaper. Like, don't you dare change that pie.
It's like, been 3.141 forever. Like, you rednecks can't do that.
And they're like, the hell is going on? That's my favorite kind of pranks were always the ones that just, like, you aren't necessarily going to be there to see the response, but you were just anticipate it, like
with my son, and I knew this was going to happen. He knows when I do stuff like this to him all the time, and he can never tell if I'm joking or not because I just get real serious about it. I had him convinced that Caucasians were from the Isle of Caucus, which was off the coast of the Netherlands, and that's where. And he took that with him and ran with it. He just knew there was an Isle of Caucus somewhere, which is where the Caucasian people come from. It made sense to him, though. He goes, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, stated as fact. You're like, okay, well, there you go. That's awesome. Yeah, I was teased my kids about all kinds of stuff. Like, my dad used to do the same thing. Pranks and hoaxes are funny.
Yeah, like, as long as they don't hurt anybody, you know, they're fun.
Yeah. I don't know if you see, there's a bunch of prank war stuff on YouTube. You seen the one where, like, the married couple are constantly scaring each other?
Yes.
Where, like, he puts the head in the bed and then, like, pokes her, and she, like, jumps, like, completely out of the bed, like, out the window. Like, there was recently one, and, this dude's asleep in his bed, and his wife, like, butters the floor. She's pregnant.
I've seen that.
She butters the floor and then, like, lays down and starts screaming. So he hops out of bed and comes running to the kitchen and slides on the butter and then passes, goes over the back of the couch. Like, that is... That dude got hurt. He's all like, ow. He's trying to help his wife and he can't get up. That's awesome. But anyway, I think we're going to cut it there.
Okay.
And we will see you next week.
Later.
There's no time.